May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Please be seated. Well, how many people here have seen the movie or the musical Fiddler on the Roof? Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Centers around a milkman named Tevye and his family, right, living in a Jewish shtetl, little town, village, actually, called Anatevka in Russia around 1905. And as his world is changing around him, Tevye seeks to maintain balance. Each daughter, as they approach a time of marriage, asks him to forgo traditions that the people of his village have relied on for millennia. And each daughter, and we, the audience, find Tevye and his wife deliberating about whether or not tradition should be set aside, which is really scary for them, because their tradition, their Jewish traditions, grounded in their faith, binds them with their community and provides them with stability and hope, which they rely on heavily, living in precarious conditions in a country that ostracizes and oppresses them. The key thing, though, as you watch the film or the musical, is that every time Tevye deals with a crisis, he talks about it. He does it when he is alone, and he does it with God. As if God were walking alongside him, as if God were able to hear every word, as if God would stop everything and pay attention to his concerns, his cares, his worries, his fears, as if God might, having listened, offer direction. In other words, Tevye talks to God as if God is a most trusted companion and confidant, and God is. This is how Tevye prays. It is as natural to him as breathing. But it's not natural for everybody, even for the disciples in this morning's gospel. We frequently hear of Jesus going off to pray, but we never hear very often anyway about the disciples doing so, do we? And there was something about watching Jesus pray over and over again that made them want to learn to pray as he did. Jesus' life was, in effect, an extended act of prayer. It was what sustained him throughout his ministry, a tough 3 years. The disciples who spent almost every day of his ministry alongside him witnessed this connection between Jesus, his work, his life, and prayer. His life was undergirded by constant prayer, daily connecting him to his Father and God. It sustains him, it nurtures him, comforts him, bolsters him, and assures him. And the disciples can see that this kind of prayer is different. I'm sure vastly different from the probably ritual type of prayer that they had experienced as pious Jews. So finally, this one day in this one place, it's not specified in the scripture, when they observe Jesus praying again, one of them asks him, "Lord, teach us to pray." They want what he has, a life sustained by prayer, prayer that is relational and ultimately transformational. Interestingly enough, Jesus, who, of course, wants all to experience God in this wonderful way, who wants all to experience the kind of transformation that is available and about which he speaks over and over again, Jesus never hounded them about praying. Come on, fellas, down on your knees. You ought to be praying. Get to it. No, he didn't want to replace one ritual with another. Instead, Jesus demonstrated and modeled transformational prayer to them and waited for them to come to him on their own terms. And it's no different for us. Jesus patiently waits for us to realize that we want it too. So no surprise, really, that the disciples, when they ask Jesus, they say, teach us. They don't say, rather, teach us how to pray. They just say, Lord, teach us to pray. Or rather, teach us how you pray. So what might get in the way of us experiencing this kind of connection to God, this opportunity for us to move from rote and ritual to trust and transformation? Often we get caught up in the content, right? What we say and how we express ourselves in prayer. Am I using the right words? Am I saying the right thing? Is this what God wants to hear? And I think that may have held a lot of hearts back over time. What's truly most important is that we just pray, period. So if we're not sure what to say or where to begin, we have our Lord's Prayer. This framework that Jesus created for us, we can just start with that and see what might come. Well, why is this prayer such an ideal one to begin with? Well, really, we're in conversation with our Father, Abba, Father, Dad. That's how Jesus told us to begin, by calling upon God as a child calls upon a loving parent, trusting that they belong to God and that God wants what is good and life-giving for them. And don't we want to talk with someone who loves us every single day? Regular daily prayer forms the building blocks of the bridge that connects us to the one who made us and loves us. It builds familiarity and trust. Daily sharing what's on our heart to God in prayer, our joys, our thanks, our fears, our worries, our despair. We're not to worry about sounding pretty or being perfectly polite. Remember Jesus himself. He prayed in complete anguish when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Terrified and feeling abandoned, he prayed to his Father, take this cup away from me. And as he bled and suffered on the tortuous cross, he cried out in anguish, railing against God, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's not always polite. In follow-up to the Lord's Prayer this morning, in this morning's gospel, Jesus also tells that wonderful parable about persistence, about the man who goes to his friend at midnight asking for bread. It kind of makes me laugh a little bit because I think I identify more with the poor man whose household is already fast asleep and doesn't really want to be disturbed and troubled at such a late hour. But the man seeking bread is persistent, shamelessly persistent. He'd rather take the risk of annoying his friend. And eventually the friend complies, perhaps only to get rid of this pesky neighbor. Almost like kids, right? Please, pretty please. They know they could wear us down. They know that parents might eventually cave, worn down by persistent demands, shamelessly persistent demands. So it's okay if prayer, like the request in this parable, is shamelessly persistent, impolite. Jesus tells us to ask in our prayers. Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, you will find. Sometimes the parent says no, right? Sometimes God says no to. Because sometimes God's purpose is beyond our comprehension. So staying connected to God daily in prayer, in honest and heartfelt conversation, is good. It may eventually reveal what God's purpose is in any given situation. And it reminds us that God is walking with us each step of the way, even though it doesn't feel like it sometimes, because we think we know what is good for us. And you wouldn't be alone if you pray for the world and become frustrated when nothing magically changes. With our intercessions, we're praying for the coming about of God's kingdom. Isn't that the next part of the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's not a plea for God, right, to wave his hand and magically change everything. Because everyone in the world has free will, and change has to come from the inside of every human being willingly. Mother Teresa, I think, said it best, and we've talked about her before. She too, surprisingly to many of us, had deep faith struggles. Here's another quote from her. I used to pray that God would feed the hungry or do this or that. But now I pray that he will guide me to do whatever I'm supposed to do, what I can do. I used to pray for answers, but now I'm praying for strength. I used to believe that prayer changes things, but now I know that prayer changes us, and we can change things. Yeah, this part of the Lord's Prayer about God's kingdom coming is a reminder to each of us that God invites us to be active participants in bringing about his kingdom. It's the only way it will come about. And only by praying daily can I even hope to keep this top of mind. So what else? I begin by praying to my Father, Abba, Dad, acknowledging that he is a supreme being. I am reminded that I am a participant in bringing about the kingdom of God on earth. I pray also that God will provide for me. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, we're talking about more than bread here. And in Matthew's account of this gospel, the language is different. The Greek actually says our day-to-day bread. Again, an acknowledgement of the ongoing relationship with our Creator, our day-to-day encounters with him, chatting about our day-to-day needs. The Lord's Prayer isn't a one-off. And then we ask for forgiveness and acknowledge that we too must forgive. That's about awareness, isn't it? Self-examination. And lastly, we pray that we will not be tempted. Well, no doubt there are any number of temptations that could apply every day here for each of us, different. Primarily, though, let us not be tempted to be separated from God. That is one of the definitions of sin, choosing to be apart from God, turning our back on God. Therefore, deliver us from evil. May we always remain connected. And that's it. As we say each line of this prayer, we can pause and expand with our personal petitions or concerns as they apply to our day or the season of life we find ourselves in, or just say it. It's the perfect prayer. So not surprising, it's included in each of the daily offices and every Sunday at worship. And this morning, as we pray this prayer together, well, we'll be singing it. May our prayer rise as incense, lifting up what is on our hearts to the one who made us and loves us and invites us to participate in his will. Like Tevye, may it become as natural as breathing for us. And like Jesus, may it transform us so that our daily lives themselves become an extended act of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.